Temple worship in ancient Jerusalem was not as easy as contemporary worship in most modern American churches has come to be. There wasn't a temple in every town, and most people who came to worship came from long distances. Their worship experience was much similar to ours in lots of ways. They read from the Torah, 5 books of the Old Testament. They read from the prophets, and they also sang, in a sense. The hymn book of the Jerusalem temple community was what we have as the book of Psalms. And Psalm 121 is the closing hymn for worship in ancient Jerusalem. It is a song that's really a prayer for God's presence, for pilgrims who are on the way home, or in any other way, in transition. The psalmist writes, "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in. Transitions, going from here to there, growing from this place or phase to the next. And in transition, a promise of commitment. The Lord will watch over. Transitions involve the changing of circumstances. Commitment is unshakable. So we have, in tandem and intention this morning, a discussion of transitions and commitments. It's kind of the season of transitions, is it not? Commencement exercises going on in Lubbock and elsewhere. Commencements past, commencements yet to be. Illustrating the transition from student to graduate. Not an easy thing, really, because there's the job market, which is certainly chancy at best these days. The transition from student to graduate also involves the commitment between self and self, oddly enough. The decision to become a student, to seek graduation, to seek a credential that enables meaningful work, is a response to a call, to a vocation. Usually involves a reflection of, or a study of, what the world needs badly doing that you're able to do. And so you learn how to become adept, attain the credential, and in a commitment between self and self, become who you chose to be, who you believe even God called you to be. The commitment, well intended, may or may not support fully. It still bothers me, and it's even a little hard to talk about, what we had to do a couple of weeks ago in the context of my role as a member of the graduate committee in our department, a young woman seeking the credential of Master of Arts in Sociology. We had to rather forcefully ask her to resign before we would forcefully suspend her from the program. She broke the commitment between self and self by presenting her work, or by presenting as her work, work that was clearly not. And as difficult as the details are on that, what saddens me more than anything is how she more or less gave up on herself. And there's really no way for us to deal with it other than to hold her accountable for that. And yet I worry about where she might go next, what her next transition will be. It won't be from student to graduate. It will be from student to ex-student, and then we're not sure. In all of our comings and goings, we make commitments to ourselves and then others that we may or may not be able to keep. And there's some level of treachery and trepidation that accompanies the process. It's also the wedding season. There's a wedding in the Dalby family this month. There are weddings here and there and everywhere. Rather interesting wedding that was on this morning's news. A young couple met on a commuter train and decided that after a period of time continuing to meet on the commuter train, they would hold their wedding on the commuter train. And they had 30 minutes from one stop to the next to get the wedding in. I think it's an interesting metaphor for what a marriage is. It's a journey, kind of a rocky journey, a bumpy journey in some kind of way. The transition from single to married also involves a commitment of one person to another. One of those trick questions that we pose to freshman sociology students is true or false? Couples who live together before marriage are happier in their marriage than couples who do not live together before marriage. Seems like that would be unequivocally true. It's like you get to practice. It's like learning to hit a baseball or field a ground ball. There's some evidence to that effect, but there's some evidence to the contrary. What overrides the issue of marital satisfaction is the level of commitment. Couples who live together with the tacit or explicit, and the more explicit the better, commitment to a lifelong partnership tend to have marriages that are equally happy or more so than couples who did not live together ahead of time. Couples whose cohabitation is one of convenience or for other reasons tend not to be as happy in subsequent marriages. The overriding issue is commitment, commitment between one and another. I'm fond of telling couples about to be married that 1 + 1 equals not 2 for the first time in their lives. 1 + 1 actually equals 3 because they remain individuals, but they together become a couple. And their commitment to that new being is what will sustain them in their marriage. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. The transition from single to married sometimes becomes a precursor to the next transition of being married to being single again. And that commitment, again, isn't all that it might be, given the power of human will. Transitions and commitments between self and self, between self and others, are sustained by, finally, the commitment between the one who watches over our going out and our coming in, and those who experience the transition. The commitment between God and us is unshakable. And this is most obvious, I think, when the transitions we're in involve going from having to losing, having a relationship to losing a relationship, having youth to not, having health to not, and so on. Going from having to losing, it's a grieving process. And the scriptures are unequivocal. The Lord will watch over and be with you. This notion of watching over, it's an interesting metaphor because it's what the shepherds were doing that night in rural Bethlehem. They were watching over their flocks by night. And the one who was born in Bethlehem becomes a personification of the one who watches over all of our going out and our coming in. Watching over and giving us strength to get through the process of having to losing creates an effective feedback loop. Because all of us who have gone from having to losing and then perhaps having again become witnesses to others. There are those who went from being single to married to single to married again. Perhaps in the process learning more about themselves and others and making it work better the next time around. I'm not sure what will happen to this young woman that we had to ask to leave our graduate program. I hope that she will find another place to be what God knows her to be, and that is yet a valuable child of his own creation. There is something fundamentally of value to every human being, whether or not they succeed or fail at any particular endeavor. The point is, what do you do when things don't work out? You count on the never-failing presence of the God who watches over and who is with. Jesus' last words to his disciples, "I am with you always to the close of the age." All of us are on the way from somewhere to somewhere else, in transition, counting on commitments which we may or may not at any given moment be fully strengthened to keep. But I think finally of one last Bible verse, scriptural message. It's actually my favorite Bible verse. Ironically, it isn't even in the Bible. Hezekiah 3:16, I'm fond of calling it. Let not the ideal be the enemy of the good. Ideally, all of our commitments to self and others work themselves out. Ideally, we don't make the mistakes that we do make, that hurt one another or hurt ourselves. And yet, because we walk through all transitions in the company of the one who will never fail us and who will help us find a way to pick ourselves up when we fall, we can remain a part of those who can do some good, who are witnesses to the perseverance of what God can do with a life, even a life that has been broken by grief, by things that we've done, that we've left undone, that we couldn't prevent. Let not the ideal be the enemy of the good, because the good in us, while never fully ideal, is good enough. It's good enough for here, it's good enough for now. And when we're not sure that that's true, we hear again the words of the psalmist, the promise of the never shaking commitment, the Lord will watch over our going out and our coming in and give us strength and help us share the good. Amen.